الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وقال تعالى: وما للظالمين من نصير. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the best of religions, the only true religion, and that is the deen of Islam. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Every teaching of Islam is so beautiful, and it is filled with justice, adl. We find in the aftermath of the 11th September, many non-Muslims have now become very interested in Islam. In fact, hardly any literature is available in the bookshops, especially in the non-Muslim countries. However, there are many things that they still fail to understand, and that is, many of them still feel that the Islamic laws are barbaric, they are inhumane. Respected brothers and elders, until a person does not study these laws of Sharia and understand the wisdom behind each law and understand how these laws are implemented with all the conditions that are attached with it before they are implemented and enforced, one cannot come to a conclusion that the laws of Islam, ma'azallah, are barbaric. Every teaching of Islam is so beautiful. Islam teaches us not to oppress others. Islam teaches us not to make zulm even on our own selves. Islam teaches us not to oppress our wives, our families, our children, our neighbors, the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be he a Muslim or a kafir, even animals. We know the incident which is mentioned in the books of hadith, where a woman who was outwardly very pious and she made a lot of ibadat, but she was cruel and wicked, and she had oppressed a cat, and she did not give this cat food to eat. On account of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became so disappointed, so naraz, and so angry with her, that Allah ta'ala punished her by sending her to Jahannam. It is mentioned in some kitabs that in Jahannam, this cat, each time this woman comes forward, it will scratch her face. Each time she goes back, it will scratch her face. Even with our servants, those who are employed by us, Sharia teaches us to be treat them with kindness, to be just towards them. It is mentioned in the hadith that you should pay your worker his due even before his sweat dries. Alhamdulillah, many talks have been given regarding these rights of people. My respected brothers and elders, my point today is that the laws of Islam, the laws of Sharia, are full with insaf, adl, and justice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once walking, and he had seen a sahabi who was whipping a slave of his. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately, from where he was, shouted out at him, "Ya Aba Mas'ud, O Abu Mas'ud, do not do this." When he came to the sahabi realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was trying to stop him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed him and said, "O Abu Mas'ud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more able, Allah has more power, Allah has more strength over you than the strength that you have over your slave. Immediately he realizes, he set his slave free. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an, regarding their slaves, whom ikhwanukum. In reality he said, they are your brothers. You should treat them with kindness. Do not oppress them, do not make zulm upon them. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu zulma ala nafsi, waja'altuhu baynakum muharrama, fala tazalamu. O my beloved servants, I have made zulm, oppression, haram upon myself. And I have made it haram upon you. Therefore, do not oppress one another. In the Quran, there are many ayats where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah does not like, Allah does not love those who oppress. We find how just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the day of Qiyamah, exactly what you are due. Every sawab that is on your account, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. Whatever you are worth, you will be given. You will not be deprived of one sawab even. Nor will you be burdened with any sin which you did not commit. So Islam is a religion that teaches us justice, equality, to be kind to others, to be fair, to treat people kindly. Our mu'amalat, our dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be with justice. Our dealings with people would be with justice. My respected brothers and elders, the West say that the Islamic laws of hudud, of punishment, are inhumane. As I mentioned, that they fail to understand the laws of hudud. This is a very detailed subject. But one benefit of the Islamic laws being implemented in those countries where they are implemented, we find that the crime rate in those countries are very low. In a survey conducted by Interpol, 1988 to 1998, and they made a survey over many countries of the world. And this survey reads that of 12 countries which had the lowest crime rate, of 12 countries that had the lowest crime rate, 9 were Muslim countries. And of 12 countries with the highest crime rate, none were Muslim countries. Of 12 countries with the highest crime rate, none, not a single one was a Muslim country. From this we understand, my respected brothers and elders, when these ahkams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implemented, and as I mentioned in the beginning, there are certain laws that have to be abided before these laws are just implemented. In those countries where there are no real laws for crime rate, if a person commits adultery, in fact I read in one book, in one state of America, there is no real law, so there is no crime if a person commits adultery. And if he has to be, if some penalty has to be given in one state, it was given, and that was just $10 for committing adultery. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us His sharia. And we understand that these laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is hakeem, He understands the laws that He has laid down in Islam. You and I have to appreciate these laws and abide by these laws, and the hikmat of these laws has to be explained to those non-Muslims who regard Islamic law as being barbaric. My respected brothers and elders, if you look in today's circumstance, we know the scenario in Afghanistan. The prisoners, the mujahideen who were taken as captives, what condition are they in? Are they not kept in an inhumane, barbaric condition? We know in Camp X-ray in Cuba, Kevin Wright, he is an expert as far as prisons are concerned. He himself has mentioned that they are living in inhumane conditions. He said these are cages or kennels in which they are living. 1.8 by 2.4 meters. with just two buckets, with two towels, one which they have used as a musalla. And when one person tries to wear a turban, the guard comes rushing in and pulls off his turban. They are shackled, they are fitted, they are chained. They are made to wear boiling suits. And they are made to wear masks and goggles and earmuffs. Is this not inhumane? Where is the world today? Where is the justice that the non-Muslim countries brag about? Justice is in Islam, my respected brothers and elders. If you look in the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, Hazrat Thumama bin Uthal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before he became a Sahabi, he heard about Islam, he heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he set out to go and kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was stopped by some family member of his. But his blood was boiling with hatred and enmity. So he had killed a certain group of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu that now you can kill Thumama bin Uthal, wherever you see him. After some time, when he was traveling to Makkah, and when he was close by Medina, some Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum captured him. They brought him to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They tied him around a pillar. And they were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come. The moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the masjid and he realized who this prisoner was, who this captive was, my respected brothers and elders, he goes back to his own house and he tells his family, اجمعوا ما عندكم من طعام, whatever food you've got, please gather it and send it to Thumama bin Uthal. Food has been sent from the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this prisoner. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the morning and in the evening, he would take milk and go to Thumama and present it with his own hands. This is the justice in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not ridicule him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak with him with harsh words, but with kindness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him about his condition. Each time he replied, إِن تَقْتُلْ تَقْتُلْ ذَادَ مِنْ وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ عَلَى شَاكِرٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are going to kill a person, then you are just in killing me because I have taken the blood of many of your companions. This is according to one kitab. Or if you kill me, you are killing a person who's got a life. وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ عَلَى شَاكِرٍ. And if you show gratitude and favor and you free me, then you'll be freeing a person who'll be very grateful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the first day and second day, the same question he presented to him, this was the answer Thumama gave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not react or respond to his request immediately. On the third day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still feeding him, when Thumama gave this answer, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then freed him. He was just kept in the masjid for 3 days. The benefit of this was, the benefit of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated him, the benefit of Islamic justice, how one should treat his prisoners. We find that this person, Thumama bin Uthal, goes out of the masjid. He goes to a nearby lake or a pond. He takes a ghusl there. He comes back into the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba are busy seated there. They are discussing something. And he exclaims, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He enters in the fold of Islam. Those prisoners who were taken, or those kuffar who were taken as prisoners and captives in Ghazwa-e Badr, the greatest battle in Islam. We know 70 kuffar were killed. 70 were taken as prisoners. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not keep them in a cell or in any cage or in any room. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, sent them. He separated them. He made them into groups. And he sent them to the houses of the Ansar. The Ansar were looking after these prisoners of war. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned them, riwayat of Tabrani, istawsu bil asara khaira, the meaning of which is that be kind to the prisoners. So we find the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they are looking after their own enemy. They are taking care and they are providing food for their own prisoners. The Ansari But the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala used to feed them and give them food first before they would eat their own food. The brother of Mus'ab bin Umair, Abu Aziz, he mentioned sometime later, he says that the Ansar in whose house I was as a captive, he used to make bread for me every day. And he used to send this bread to me. And he himself, he just sufficed on some khajur, some dates. He said, I should become very embarrassed and I should feel ashamed of myself. I should become very shy. And I should tell him, no, please, you eat the roti that you are making. I'll eat the khajur. He replied, no. My beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has commanded me to be kind to you. Although you're a prisoner, although you are a captive, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has commanded us, istawsu bil asara khaira. Therefore, this Sahabi would first give his prisoner food to eat, and he would give him the best food to eat. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made mashwar of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, that what should we do with these prisoners? So they decided then that those prisoners who had the means, who were wealthy enough, they would pay a ransom money and then they would be set free. So those people who had the money, or the monies were sent from Makkah by the respective families, and then they were set free. Those who did not afford, would not have the ransom money to pay, but they were literate, they could read and write. So they had to teach 10 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in how to read and write. And this is how they got their freedom, they were released. Amongst the Sahaba who learned how to read and write on this occasion was the great Sahabi Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a very special scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was responsible on the instruction of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to write down the Quran Sharif. Amongst the prisoners was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. At that time he was not yet a Muslim. In the Battle of Badr, now he is taken as a prisoner. So he is tied, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and ties him very tightly. Rasulullah goes to sleep that night, but he is bechain, he is restless. Sahaba realized that Rasulullah is not sleeping, or he has not slept that night. What is it, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why are you so restless? He says, I can hear the groaning and the moaning pains of my uncle. فَسَمِعَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمَ وَهُوَ يَئِنُّ. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was groaning with pain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so merciful, he could not take this pain. Immediately the Sahaba released Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Then he was told to pay a ransom money and he was set free. Amongst these prisoners was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who at this stage was not yet a Muslim. Abu al-As bin Rabi', he was married to the daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, remember, this is the initial period of Islam. All the laws of nikah had not yet been revealed, the different masail. So she was still staying, although she had accepted Iman, she was a believer, but she was staying in Makkah with her husband, who was taken as a captive now, and now he is in Medina. He has the means to pay and to gain his ransom, gain his freedom. So when the monies came from Makkah, from the family members, so that they could be set free, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha also sent something so that the husband could be free. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees what she had sent, immediately he becomes so moved. In fact, it brings memory to him. It was none other than the necklace of his beloved wife, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had given this necklace of hers to her daughter when she got married to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Abu al-As bin Rabi was her nephew, Hazrat Khadija's nephew. When Rasulullah sees this, obviously it's going to bring tears to his eyes. Sahaba radiallahu anha realize that something is wrong. Rasulullah says that this is a necklace of my Khadija. So they decide and they say, no, send this necklace back. They set Abu al-As bin Rabi free, but with one condition. Remember, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were not harsh to these prisoners. They showed kindness to them. They fed them. And look what a beautiful way they are being set free. So the condition was that you must send Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha immediately to Medina. Abu al-As bin Rabi agrees. The moment he goes to Makkah, he sends his wife Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha with his brother Kinana to go and leave her towards Medina. On the way, they are going to meet Hazrat Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala, the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama mentioned, as they are leaving Makkah, the kuffar come immediately. They surround her. My respected brothers and elders, we can see these inhumane qualities coming from them. They come around her. She is a woman, innocent, as we say, innocent civilian. And Habbar, who was a kafir, he comes forward. He prods the animal on which she was mounted with his spear. It is mentioned that she was pregnant at that time. And obviously a woman, when she sees she is surrounded by kuffar who have got spears and arrows in their hand, she was overwhelmed with fear to such an extent. And it is mentioned in the kitab also that this caused the animal to jump. When the animal jumped, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha fell off this animal and she fell onto a rock, and immediately she miscarried the child she was carrying. Who is this? The beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the kuffar say, no, we've got no objection of sending her to her father, but you cannot do this in broad daylight in front of us. It is below our dignity that you do this. You must escort her at night, sometimes secretly, when we are not seeing, not observing this. This is the pride they had. So we find that Kinan or some other, after a few days later, he managed to take her out of Makkah, and on the way they met Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After some time, Abu al-As bin Rabi comes on a journey, and Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha gives him amnesty and security, and Rasulullah sallam meets him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with iman, and he enters in the fold of Islam. My respected brothers and elders, again I will mention, look at the condition of the prisoners, the mujahideen in Camp X-ray in Cuba, the food that they are given, the manner in which they are treated. They are shackled, they are fettered with chains. This is inhumane. This is barbaric. Not the laws of Sharia, not the laws of Hudud. The laws of Hudud are not barbaric. Like this, there are so many other incidents where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala have displayed to us and have shown us the beauty of Islam, the justice in Islam. Islam is a just religion. Islam is a peaceful religion. My respected brothers and elders, whether the person is your father or your son or your brother, your close relative, but when it comes to meeting out the Islamic punishment, then we do not look at faces in Islam. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman from a very well-known tribe, Makhzumiya tribe, her name was Fatima, and she happened to steal. She was caught, she was proven guilty, and the law of Islam is that your hand must be cut. So this was the sentence passed. Her family members were worried, obviously. So they decided, let us go and speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps he may give her a chance. My respected brothers and elders, in today's time we see this in the Western courts. When a man is proven that he has committed rape, what does the judge do? On many occasions, he says, we give him a chance. A chance for what? He's done it the first time. So you're giving him a chance to commit rape again. And that is why I've mentioned, according to Interpol statistics, the crime rate in those Western countries are so high. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed his judgment, which is according to Sharia. So they send Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala, who is a very beloved sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama is the son of Zaid bin Haritha, who is the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in other words, Hazrat Usama was like the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah had a lot of love for him. Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu goes up to Rasulullah says, Ya Rasulullah, and he says, why don't we give her a chance? And this had, this penalty of chopping off her hands, we do not pass this judgment upon her now, and we do not mete out this punishment to her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset. And he says, O Usama, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ, are you interceding with regards to a had, a penalty, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter mentions, respected brothers and elders, لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ سَرَقَتْ لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if she has to steal today, I would make sure that even I cut her hands also. This is Islamic justice. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he goes out for on battle, he loses his armor. He comes back to Kufa, he finds his armor by a Yahudi, a Jew. And he goes up to the Jew, he says, this armor is mine. I did not sell it, nor did I give it to any person as a gift. So how did you get it? He says, no, this armor is mine, dir'i, wa fi yadi, it is in my hand. So as Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time. He was the president of the country. But Islamic law is that you must go to the court. So he goes, he takes him to the court. Qazi Shuraid, a great person. He is the Qazi, he is the judge. He asks Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, what is the problem? He says, this is my armor. I did not sell it, I did not give it to any person as a gift. And this Yahudi is saying it is his. Qazi Shuri asks the Yahudi, is it yours? He said, yes, it is mine, it is in my hand. So in Islam, the proof has to be given by the person who is claiming something. Al-Bayyinatu ala al-Mudda'i. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is asked to submit his witness, submit his proof. He said, I've got two people who will bear witness that this armor belongs to me. One is Qumbur and the other one is my son Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. Qazi Shuri says, no, your son cannot be a witness. This is a masala that he explained to him, that a son cannot be a witness on behalf of his father. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, but he is from a person who is radiallahu anhum ajma'in, Allah is pleased with him, and he is that person whom Rasulullah said regarding him and his brother, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah, the leaders of the youth of Jannah. When the Yahudi heard this, and he sees that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he is Amirul Mu'mineen, he is brought in a court, and the judge is a Muslim judge. Everything outwardly is in his favor, and still the judge is not passing the not giving the shield in his favor and giving it to me. He becomes deeply affected, and he realizes this is Islamic justice. Immediately he tells Amirul Mu'mineen, and he tells the judge, no, I now understand that this deen, this Islam is haqq, it is true. And he recited the kalima, he accepted Islam, and he told the judge that this armor belongs to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, there is no more time to explain more incidents. In short, we have to inculcate in our lives adl, insaf, justice, be just to our own selves, be just to our fellow Muslim brothers, to our people, to our wives, to society, in our mu'amalat with our people, in our mu'amalat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not make zulam and oppress people. Let us not oppress our workers. Let us not oppress our servants, our family members, our wives and our children. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, اِتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ, fear the curse of a mazloom person. Why? Because between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no barrier. The moment he raises his hand and he cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala readily accepts his dua. I will terminate with just one incident. There was a person who had a wife and children. He was married to this woman for a few years and he had young children. But he became involved in an illicit relationship with another woman, a very young girl, very beautiful girl. And as time went by, his love for his first wife terminated. So he gives her talaq. He gives her 3 talaqs and he throws her out of his home on a cold morning with nothing to cover themselves, no food. And he throws them out of his home. This woman does not even raise her hands, respected brothers and elders. All she does is she raises her eyes towards the sky. She looks to the asman, to the sky. That is all she does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala readily accepts her cry and answers her cry. This man gets married to the other woman. And after a very short while, he suffers a very terrible disease. His body begins to rot. He becomes like a cabbage sitting on the charpai. That woman who was in love with him, the second wife, immediately she runs away from him. There is nobody to see to his needs. Nobody to care of his needs then. Nobody to stand on his bedside. My respected brothers and elders, why? He had oppressed his first wife. And as I mentioned, the Islamic laws of hudud, of sharia, are not barbaric. They are humane. We have to understand these laws. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free the mujahideen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them that victory. And of course, all those mujahideen who are taken as prisoners and captives and treated very barbarically in Camp X-ray in Cuba, may Allah ta'ala release them as quick as possible. May Allah ta'ala strengthen the ummah. Because right now, respected brothers and elders, we have heard many talks on this, that the entire kuffar are now waiting to devour us. May Allah give us thabit qadmi, steadfastness, make us implement the Islamic teachings ourselves first, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread his winds of rahmat throughout the 4 corners of the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.